This episode of the Inside Out series is sponsored by the Oxford Shutter Company, a family-run business who do the best shutters and curtains in town. So if you happen to be doing some post-lockdown redecorating, or maybe you just need a new pair of curtains, then these are your guys. Discover your custom-made luxury handcrafted shutters today, and they all even come fitted by a lovely chap named Charlie. Hello and welcome back to season two of the Inside Out series with me, Susie Flory, a stripped back podcast that celebrates everything and anything taboo. This season, I'm joined by a range of amazing guests who open up, delve in at the deep end and share their own inspiring stories. Each guest's own journey is completely unique and together, through the power of real lived experiences, they help me teach those all important lessons you didn't actually learn in school. So today's guest is the wonderful Rob Eads, who is otherwise known as the Lean Student Chef. Rob spent some time in the Alps on his gap year, where he was asked to fill the role of a chalet boy. And despite never actually having had cooked in his life before, he told his clients that he was a bit of an esteemed chef and rose to the challenge. Ever since, he really has become quite the cook and is on a mission to get students eating well on a budget, something I can really relate to. In his episode, he confirms that even the most successful people understand imposter syndrome. And above all, his get up and go attitude is seriously contagious, and he simply proves that anything is possible if you put your mind to it. When I spoke to Rob, he was just about to go for a run in torrential rain, which pretty much sums him up. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did speaking to him. Hey Rob, thank you so much for joining me. It's really nice to have you on.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Come back anytime. How are you? I mean, we sort of just had this discussion, but how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, those of you who are listening wouldn't have heard, we both just had a mutual moan about the fact that it's raining one day in the last 8 weeks and we've still found time to complain properly about it. But apart from that, everything's good. It's kind of, it all feels really, really busy at the moment, which is good. I say that today's actually felt pretty quiet, I think because of the rain. So it's down to me rather than the lack of sort of to-do list that's ever growing. But yeah, otherwise, all good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thank you. Yeah, really good. I know it's funny, isn't it? I think classic British people, we complain when it's too hot and when it's 35 degrees. And from wondering, yeah. The last time we spoke, I think it was 35 degrees. And now we're both sitting here moaning about the rain. But there we go.
Yeah, and I bet we had a whinge about it. We must have done.
Oh, of course we did.
It would be right otherwise.
So I think it would be a really good idea to just get a bit of context for everyone else who isn't as much a fan yet about you and kind of your journey and where it all sort of began.
Yeah, I suppose in terms of like my Instagram and the work I do there and sort of presenting and food and fitness to come off the back of it, it all kind of started when I first learned to cook, which was something I fell into almost quite literally. But I basically went and did a ski season and I was staying with a friend and I wanted to find a job and I most definitely could not cook. And I went around all the bars, I tried to find like a bar job, tried to find some more like normal jobs. And then eventually there was a job going as a chef in a rather expensive chalet for 12 guests. Three-course meals. I was 18 and I said I could do it, much to my regret for the immediate sort of month or so. So yeah, I had a month basically like Googling, YouTubing, begging friends and family that I knew could cook for advice and tips. Cooked a lot of terrible food for a lot of very unimpressed guests who, I don't know, I wonder if there probably are a couple of people that they probably wouldn't remember who I was, but maybe even follow me, which is quite funny to think about. So it was definitely a baptism of fire in terms of like learning how to cook. But from that point on, I suppose that I always enjoyed cooking and always kind of found it to be something that I was relatively capable of. So yeah, I kept cooking and then I went to university. I went to Nottingham, did a business degree. And then I was sort of coming to the end of that. I had a grad job lined up at RBS going into investment banking, which I decided not to do. And I went to drama school instead because I think acting was something I'd always really wanted to do. I'd done a bit when I was younger and I thought, you know what, it's now or never. Like if I get stuck into a good corporate job, I can't help but envision myself staying there for longer than I'd be happy there for. So yeah, so I went to drama school, which is the best experience ever. I'm so glad I did it. And then when I was at drama school is when I started my Instagram. So I'd always been big into fitness because I played so much sports. And yeah, I started posting recipes that cost less than £2 to make. And at first it was more like sort of workout tips and things that I was doing in terms of sessions. And then I started sort of developing the Anyplace workouts, the clues in the name really, basically 20-minute workouts that you can do wherever you are in the world with the space of a yoga mat. Yeah, and that kind of takes me to where we are today, I suppose, pretty much, bar a few little things.
There's an abundance of questions I want to ask you off the back
of
that.
Yeah, go for it.
Firstly, have you always been a yes man? Because I feel like your approach to life, I mean, for example, you started at age 18, someone offered you a job, you had no idea what you were doing, but you just accepted it anyway. And like, for example, with, you know, kind of going to drama school and not doing the investment stuff, have you always just kind of gone guns blazing for anything you've wanted?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, yeah. I was thinking, like, before I left school, it'd be quite hard to tell you, but then I think even when I was at school, like, I wanted to do some acting, and then I when I was, like, 14, I found myself an agent, and then, like, got a couple of quite good acting jobs, just, like, by myself, really. It's interesting, though, because I don't think I've ever, like, looked at myself as sort of a yes man as such, but then I suppose I kind of am. Yeah, I mean, when I went to uni, like, I had a few different businesses. I started a letting agency, because...
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. When we were looking for houses, it was like just clearly so easy to just get involved in that business. So a friend and I did. Then I started like a couple of club nights, as everyone kind of does at uni. Mm. What else did I do? I've done loads of random stuff. And then, like you said, I went to drama school instead of the banking. I think that, you know, that experience in France, that first like cooking experience, really shaped the way I look at life, because I know it sounds like it is a funny story now looking back on it, but at the time it was very much, I was just swimming in really horribly stormy waters, and I felt very, very uncomfortable, and it all turned out for the best. And I know that obviously there are a lot more uncomfortable environments to be in than cooking in a chalet and whatever, but there are like guests paying a lot of money. I was 18, I was doing it all by myself, and yeah, I felt the pressure big time, and it turned out okay. So I think from that point on, I've been really lucky to have developed a mindset that's very much like, what's the worst that can happen? And the worst that can happen is normally that you're back where you started. So what have you lost? I suppose is the way I look at it now.
I so feel like what you said on that, everyone, I mean, as humans, we're innately, we're so scared of failure. And before we even kind of come to terms with, like, so say you're presented with an opportunity and there's 10 steps of where that opportunity will start and finish, we always jump to number 10 and think of it as something going completely wrong, rather than just like taking one step at a time. And I think, like you said, you know, you were put in a situation, there was no one else there to really kind of do things for you. You were the only person who was responsible for these people's holiday. And yes, maybe some people ate some like dodgy spag bol, but at least you went in for it and fed them, which is exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, no, and it's true. And I think what I sort of probably didn't realise then, and what that sort of environment forced more than pretty much any other opportunity that you want to try and take, is that there's normally someone that knows it well that you can get in contact with that can help you do it.
Yeah.
And that's probably my biggest thing that I've learned, is that like, there's no pride and there's no point in trying to do things yourself when you can get help. Like, that it just doesn't make any sense.
Agreed. And it's not weak either to ask for help.
No, 100%. And when I was younger, I was very much like that. I was very much like of the mindset, like, I'm sure my parents would tell you, trying to teach me to drive and things like that, I was very much like, I can do it.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, I think probably as challenges become bigger and harder as you get a bit older, you, I think, become a lot more willing to realise that you probably do need help with things. Then as soon as you do open that door, suddenly it's like, well, I might as well just get help with everything, really, whenever I can.
That's the thing. I honestly couldn't agree more. And I think we're so... I don't know whether we're kind of conditioned to not ask for help. And, you know, a lot of us as well, like, you know, you sort of... When you're younger, your parents might say, oh, just, like, have a go, get the job done, whatever. And I think as you get older, like, I've definitely found that I need more and more help, and you tend to be kind of trying things that you have no area of specialism in. Like, so many of my friends have recently gotten jobs and I've said, oh, are you looking forward to it? And they're like, I don't even really know what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
Prime situation, yeah, so of true. Just, and the other thing is that people are so willing to help, and I think like being asked for help too. I don't know.
Yeah, and that is also the massive thing. It's almost like a sort of a key to unlock like life in a way, that once you realise that whoever it is and however sort of powerful they are, however sort of busy they seem, however famous they are, whatever it may be, they always, like, the human nature is to like being sort of respected and for your opinion to be respected and to feel like people want to learn from you, even if you yourself don't really feel like you have any idea what you're talking about. But yeah, I mean, I found that on Instagram, like, so many people, like Joe Wicks, for example, when I was starting my Instagram, I remember sending him a message. And he sent me such a nice message back and was like, oh, good luck, keep doing what you're doing.
That's cooking. So great.
I don't know what it was. I mean, he won't remember doing it, I'm almost certain. But I've met him a couple of times since and he's been lovely. But as much as, like, for me, that was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's also, not, I mean, it's nowhere near the same level, but I kind of have the same. If someone messages me and asks me, like, questions about things, it's a nice feeling. Like you chemically, you get a release of positive endorphins when you help someone or you do something nice. So yeah, I think no matter what someone's doing or however sort of unachievable their advice seems, it's always worth asking. And if you phrase it in the right way and sort of blow hot smoke up their ass subtly, normally you'll get a response, I think.
That's the thing. I think, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. And actually, yeah, a lot of people aren't going to respond because that's just human nature. You're going to get people who are more into, you know, communication and X, Y, and Z. But like you sort of said, I'm sure Joe was in the same position that you were in when you contacted him. And people don't really forget that. Like when we're sort of trying out in our careers and everything, there's going to be someone who has to take the chance on us and who responds. Yeah. And it makes such a difference to the receivers. Well, both parties, like you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. And it's nice. It's just nice. It's nice helping each other out whenever we can.
Have you found that you've built like a really strong community over, I mean, obviously the majority of your work is kind of based on Instagram now, but massively, have you found like collaborations with other people and that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And it's funny, like this, I'm quite lucky in that just the sort of Instagram stuff and the content creation isn't sort of my be all and end all, in that like I've got a couple of other businesses. I'm trying to do more and more presenting work, which has been a bit curtailed by COVID. But that was going really well before, and hopefully it'll pick straight back up.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah, hopefully, we'll see. But you've got to just keep going for it, even if it doesn't feel like it is. But yeah, and I'm quite lucky to have that sort of like, I have support in the other things I do outside of that, but it's actually kind of a lonely job apart from that. So like, I've got a lot of friends who do similar, and like having the support of one another and being able to talk to one another about things and like mutual complaints, even if it's like just whinging to one another about a part of your life that most people probably wouldn't really be able to relate to or really understand, is so helpful. As soon as you feel like you are part of a group of people that have the same sort of pain points as you do, suddenly it doesn't feel quite as lonely and it doesn't feel quite as painful, the hard bits of it. And on the same note, like celebrating successes with other people, you appreciate how good it feels when certain big things happen that other people might not appreciate either.
I think that's the thing. It can seem like it's kind of ironic, you know, social media, and that's the name of it. And actually, like you were saying, like the role that you do, yes, it's sociable to some degree, but equally your majority probably is at home, like you're working from home, all that kind of stuff, which I guess a lot more people are doing now. But I think people perceive it as being this kind of like socially buzzing thing. And yes, it sort of comes in, I'm sure, drips and drabs. But ultimately, there are times when you're just frolicking around the kitchen, like cooking up the next meal for a video or whatever. And it's like everyone who goes to an office, that is the one thing, is you have that sort of community base. But I think everyone's like the whole kind of the job market at the moment completely is changing. Like so many more people are going to be from home and not have that interaction, which is weird.
It is weird. And it's also really interesting because I think, I mean, obviously my life's changed in terms of the way that society is right now because of COVID. But in terms of my like day to day, it's pretty much exactly the same.
Really?
And obviously all of my friends, it's completely shifted their whole life in terms of their work life and their work week and all of that kind of stuff. And like my sort of, my complaints in terms of that are like, I'm a very sociable person. Like I'd love to have an office environment. I'd love to have like, I don't know, drinks on a Friday or whatever. But on the same hand, like I love being able to kind of work for myself and choose what I'm going to do that day and whatever it may be. And now all my friends are in the same position. And I think the general balance from people is that when offices are open again, people are like, well, I'll go back for 2 days a week. So I do want a bit of the office environment, but I also do want that home environment. So it's interesting that there are definitely big pluses to both. And it's been an interesting way of everyone being forced to actually realise what the pluses of both are, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, such a good point, because I was having this discussion with someone the other day and talking about going back to an office. And yeah, as much as I would really love to do that as well. And then equally, you kind of want the independence of staying at home and, you know, being able to dictate what it is you're going to do that day. But I think as kind of balance, hopefully, is where we'll end up. I think 3 days a week would be nice and then 2 days at home. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. And I think people will have the choice because I think people have been probably productive enough. And I think it forces bosses, managers to trust you. And if you do deliver, then there's no reason not to keep things how they are, I suppose, if people want it to be like that.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is that it seems as though the climate's changing in the sense that people aren't just going to do one specific role as much. I mean, obviously with exceptions. But I think I remember me and you spoke about this before, and we were saying how it's kind of you more than anyone I know has fingers in so many different pies. And that's a really good thing, because I think when, although arguably it, you could be spreading yourself thin, and it's, I want to ask you how managing your time is. But at the same time, I think when one aspect maybe isn't going so well, so for example, presenting really tough at the moment with Corona, you've been able to really focus, like you've grown your food and your fitness stuff by gazillions, which has been amazing. And it's nice to have to invest your energy across the board, I think.
Yeah, it's funny. I kind of feel like it also, it's the old like putting all your eggs in one basket. It's great if you get there with all the eggs still in the basket, but like if you drop that basket, you're in real bother. Mm. And if you've got a few different baskets, and like then if you drop one basket, then at least you've still got the others that are going well, and it's not the end of the world. And I'm very inclined, like in terms of my mental sort of approach to life, is I'm very up and down. Like I don't get particularly sort of down for long spells, but I'm very all or nothing, I think, in I think my girlfriend will probably testify much to her annoyance sometimes, but I'm very all or nothing about most things. So for me, like having a few different things going on is quite a nice way of just kind of balancing my day-to-day life. So if one thing's not going that well and a couple of other things are, then everything's kind of fine. It does mean if all things seem to be going badly at one point, then it can feel a little bit cataclysmic. But again, on the other hand, I suppose occasionally all things are going really, really well too. So, yeah.
How have you found managing everything that you've been doing? And like, because I see, and then you've also, I mean, your work is endless. You started your fitness plan with Natalie, your girlfriend, and then you're kind of starting another little business. And I remember you saying that you kind of get an idea and you think about it for 10 seconds and then you're off. You're on to building it.
Yeah. It's a good question. I never really think about it in terms of like balancing time. I always feel like I've got more stuff to do, but I think, to be honest, I think I've got better at being like, okay, what's actually important? Like what's essential to do today? What can be pushed back? I think I used to be worse at it, but I've got better at just being like, okay, what is something that the deadline is this evening and it has to be done by then?
Yeah.
And what can I push back to tomorrow?
Yeah.
And I used to be very much like, okay, this is my to-do list. I need to get it all done today, which also slows me down, because when I'm doing one thing, I'm thinking, I need to do a little bit of that other thing now, and then I need to do a little bit of this thing. Whereas if I just set myself like, okay, these are things that I need doing today, get those done, and then if I finish early, I finish early. I don't think, right, I'm gonna crack on with the next thing. I just think, okay, cool, that's done for the day, on to tomorrow. It's funny, this isn't something I ever really thought I'd say, but I think the more, actually it's not even that, what I was gonna say was, the more sort of set you feel you are, particularly with Instagram stuff, the more that you feel like you actually sort of have quite a big say in your relationship with brands, for example, and like, and work that you're going to be doing and the deadlines for that, the more you feel sort of actually really solid and not completely reliant on those brands, the more that you realize that they're just as reliant on you as you are on them.
Yeah.
So it means the more that you can say, I mean, I can say to my manager, which also obviously helps having a manager, which is not something I had in the early days. I can say like, to be honest, I can't get that done this Friday. No, it'll have to be next Friday. And then I don't think I've ever had one instance where a brand's gone, no, it's not possible. So I think the more you start to realise and
put barriers up as well.
Exactly, put barriers. And on the same note, like if I'm super rushed to get something done and it's not going to be up to the sort of standards I set for myself, then it's not going to be to anyone's benefit. Not to my own, not to my followers, not to the brand. Or if it's just content I'm doing, not to me and not to my followers, which hopefully not to any brands listening, but is often more important, because that's how the trust between myself and my followers builds up, in that like I try my best to create useful content every single time I create content. And it's exactly the same with brands, but that sort of trust stems from just the work that I've done before that and around that. So that it means that I do work with brands, my followers know that it's only a brand that I actually really like and I actually really use and I'm actually really happy to put into a recipe or wear during a workout or whatever it may be.
I mean, that's such a good point, because I think we're so bad at giving ourselves a break. I mean, we try and do 110 things at once, and actually ultimately then you're going to run dry, and whether that's with work or whether it's going to every party or seeing every friend, and eventually you end up not doing the job properly or being on crap form and you've kind of half-heartedly done everything, rather than, I think prioritizing stuff is no bad thing, but we're all a bit scared of it, but actually it can be so beneficial in the long run. Easier said than done.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it is also something that takes practice, and it's definitely not something I've mastered at all.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think you just start to realize that if you take a second to breathe before you do something, normally the decision you make is going to be a slightly, ever so slightly, more well-informed one, I guess, in terms of like what's important, what's not, and all of that kind of stuff.
So true. Mum always says it'll always be better in the morning, and she's right. Like, there is no harm in sleeping on every single decision.
And it's so true.
How have you found working with Natalie?
Good question. We're lucky in that, like, we have really complementing abilities. So, like, she's incredible at, like, design and, like, piecing stuff together and making stuff look amazing. I'm probably better at just like doing this sort of writing the stuff out and creating all the ideas and content and stuff. So we actually, we do make a really nice team and we're working on stuff. It can be tough in that like we're both opinionated. So there's times where we'll disagree on things. But then I think we also, it's just worked really nicely and it's been really fun. And it's been good to have something that we're sort of working on, especially during COVID. Like we were in lockdown together for a long time, which is naturally quite an intense situation.
Mm.
But I think we've come out of it stronger, happier, more sort of, I feel like we probably know each other better and better and better, and working with each other is quite a good way to do that. And it's not to say that like we're gonna end up working together forever on everything, but it's just, I think it's a nice thing to have done and a nice thing to have sort of realized we can do together.
And it's hugely rewarding, I think, as well, because when you're in a relationship with someone, you know, you can obviously celebrate each other's work, but really nice to be able to like properly feel that together and be like, yes, we've nailed it.
Massively. And the for the home fitness plan, like the best thing that has come from it, and it's still coming from it, like again and again, which is so nice, is that the amount of people that are doing it, they send us such lovely messages that they're like, I feel great, like I'm exercising, I've never really managed to get consistently into exercising before, I really enjoy working out with you two, all of that kind of stuff. And that's like the motivation for it, really, because it's something that we can both share, that's like, great, all that hard work that we did. And even if there are times when we felt a bit like frustrated with one another over stuff, it just feels so worthwhile when there's, people can be so sweet and friendly. And it's made me realise more that it's really important that when you're happy with something, or you think someone's done a good job or something, like,
tell them.
We have this thing where it's like, oh, yeah, exactly, just tell
them.
Like, you feel a bit embarrassed, I don't really know why.
I know.
Whatever it may be, just say it. Like, it's so, you know what, a completely weird, random one. So my dentist, who I'm down the road from, is the loveliest guy ever. And he did me like a filling or something 8 months ago, and I'd only met him once, and he was just so caring and like kind and like asked about me and generally interested. And obviously when Corona happened, I got an email from the dentist, and I just sent him an email and I was like, hi, I can't remember the name, doctor, whatever his name is. I just wanted to check that everything's okay with you during COVID. I wish you the best in your response to it, and I can't wait to sort of get back to the practice. Like and he sent me a lovely message back, and it was like, at the time I was writing, I was thinking like, do I, is this a bit silly? But I'm sure that he will have got that and be like, great, made my day. And it's like, have you read, oh my God, it's completely lost. You know the book about a junior doctor?
This Shall Hurt, is that what it's called?
Yeah, this is going
this
to
is
hurt.
This is going to hurt. Well done. Amazing.
You dug me out of jail.
It's
there, really
so was. Good. Oh, it was so real.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, and he says the same in that. He's like, you get one note from a patient, and it's just like,
that's
just so nice. Yeah, and as a patient, you think, oh, they see 1,000 patients, and it's like, I'm not going to bother them getting a note from me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just say nice things. It's always nice.
I think people forget how much that kind of, I mean, I think like praise and achievements are rewarded in different ways, and not that people need that to feel happy, but I think the best form of that is knowing that you've made another individual happy or had an impact on them, and like human words more than kind of, I don't know, a benefit or a bonus or whatever it might be. Like someone just saying thank you so much, you've made my day, actually is like the best kind of reward ever.
Yeah it's class. I love it.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
So what's your plan now for, I mean, Corona's kind of worked in your favour in some ways, without saying that selfishly, but what's the plan going forward for work and stuff?
I mean, yeah, I can't say it enough. Like, I've been so lucky that, well, my Instagram page is about like cooking easy food from home, which everyone was forced to do.
Yeah.
And working out from home or wherever you are, which everyone was forced to do. So it was sort of perversely quite nice to sort of reach a slightly wider audience and engage with new people and kind of grow on that front a little bit, despite obviously the sort of the obvious negatives of what's happening.
Mm.
In terms of the future, I am working pretty much full time on a business of mine called Flarebox, which is a video sharing platform for talent discovery in the entertainment industry.
It's very cool.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's really exciting. And obviously Corona means that everything in the entertainment industry is suddenly video. Like, there's no live music, there's no theatres. They're trying to bring things back, but like, it's sort of made this almost a perfect time to be doing that, which is obviously really exciting and sort of frustrating in that, like, we're building a product which obviously takes time, and it's sort of like we just want it to be finished and want to get it out there as soon as possible. But that'll be ready to go in the next sort of month to 6 weeks after a lot of work and a lot of testing. And then there's a couple of presenting things, projects that I'm looking to do that I can't go into too much detail about, but are sort of linked to the government's recent like obesity advice and sort
don't
of...
worry, I'm not going to make you bust out your secrets. Just too soon.
No, it's not that. I'm just trying to explain this diplomatically. Like, I don't think they're necessarily that supportive of people that are overweight and want to lose weight. I think that it's the problem isn't like being told you should eat better food, because I think everyone knows that. I think the problem is probably a bit more systemic and a bit more deep rooted than that. So I kind of want to explore that a little bit with some British families from all over the country, and I don't know, see if I can delve a bit further into it. But we'll see.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if there's anything that you're kind of still trying to learn or master. I don't know yourself, like, it's as you were saying, you know, the things balancing and kind of looking after yourself, whatever, it all comes with a lot of time and practice. But is there anything at the moment that you're still really working on, or maybe not?
Everything, like, honestly, everything, always. Like, I don't think I've ever looked at anything I do in my life and think, like, you know what, I'm actually really fucking good at that. It doesn't need any more work. Like, I always think, no matter how well things feel like they're going, I think I'm someone that probably feels like, I think everyone has an element of feeling a bit like an imposter in whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I'm specific, like, a big thing that like I said earlier, I'm very sort of all or nothing, and like I'm trying to, and I think this is also something that probably comes a bit with age, like I'm trying to get a bit more balanced and steady and sort of moderated in my approach to a lot of things, so that I can just kind of enjoy things and not go overboard. I haven't explained that very well, but I think just trying to be a bit more sort of balanced in my approach to things.
Are you good at switching off, like, when it comes to the end? I know you said that you're good at kind of setting yourself a list of tasks and then not doing the one for the next day, but do you ever get like a cheeky urge to be like, oh, I might do that little one for tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a really good point, and I think I kid myself that I'm not bad at it, but I think I'm okay. I do you know what I have got better at is, like, specifically having a time where I stop and then I sit and read my book before I go to bed or whatever it may be, so that at least I have that time. The tough thing, I think, is that, like, with obviously, like, Instagram stuff, I tend to post at like 7 or 8 in the evening.
Yeah.
And then after that, like, I like to follow up with, like, if people are commenting on my post, I like to reply or whatever it may be, kind of be on my phone a bit from like probably 8 till 9, 9:30. And then I'm also like cooking dinner or whatever it may be. But yeah, I think I am relatively good at, like, once I get to 9:30, 10, I'm like, right, no more work for today. And then the one thing I've got much, much better at is, like, if I'm tired, I'll just sleep till 8. And I used to be like, get up at 6:30, work out at 7. And now I'm a lot more like, well, I'm tired, so I'll be in a bad mood if I get up now, so I'm just going to stay asleep.
I'm literally the same, and I'm always like, I'm that classic annoying friend who goes on a holiday and the alarm goes off in the morning.
And yeah, that's me.
It's so bad, and I think this holiday, I've recently had a couple of days where I let myself oversleep, and you realise, like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Nothing. You just start your day an hour later, and sometimes you just need to do it.
Yeah, and you feel so, like, when...
Oh, so good after.
Every now and again, you wake up in the morning. Yeah, you wake up in the morning and you feel instantly fresh.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's clearly exactly what my body needed. It's also a difficult balance, because there's a lot of things, like, I don't know, if I want to go for a run, my body's normally like, nah, come on, we can't bother to do that, come on, just sack it off. Whereas a lot of things, my body's like, oh, let's have a bit of a lie-in. Maybe it does actually need it and it will make me feel better. So it is quite hard to balance which things, you know, are actually just, no, I need to just get on and do it and then I'll feel better, and which things are actually listen to my body and then I'll feel better.
So true. And you're not always going to get it right. Like, everyone always says listen to your body, and I think that's so, I mean, as much as I really appreciate that and preach it too, I think it's a bit easier said than done, and often we won't know what the right thing was to do until, like, hindsight is an amazing thing, and it might sort of be past the moment and we're like, oh, maybe I should have just not done that or whatever it might be. Yeah. And I think it's also, like, giving yourself a break in that extent too. You're not always going to be able to make the right decision to feel 100% all the time. It's just, like, physically impossible.
100%, yeah. And like you say, there's no point in punishing yourself about things.
So
unless
true.
They're things that you realise, like, that was stupid, and then you can give yourself a bit of ticking off, but then there's no point hanging on to things. Anything, ever. There's literally no point hanging on to things. Like, once things are done. I think I've been quite lucky in that as an actor, I've always had auditions, and you have to learn that from quite a young age, that, like, once the audition's done, don't hang on to it, don't think over it anymore, don't think about what you could have done differently, because you just never get anywhere doing that.
Yeah.
So trying to apply that to other things in life is, I think, can be pretty powerful.
Well, it makes you so much more robust. And, like, I was actually just going to ask you about failure, and if you've ever had kind of a specific moment, which, or any, maybe a small moment, which you kind of remember that you've learned from. But I think, like you just sort of said, the word failure, just what does it even mean? It has negative connotations, but it shouldn't. It's just really like teachings and learnings, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I've had hundreds of things where I felt like I should have done things way better and things have gone wrong. And and things always, I know it's, again, it's a cliche, but things do always turn out for the best. Like,
true.
You are where you are today as a result of everything that's happened till today. And if things are generally all right, then they turn out for the best. So why would that ever change?
Such a good point. You're honestly like little words of wisdom coming through the screen. And on that note, is there anything you'd kind of, any advice you'd offer your younger self? Or I don't know if you could say anything. You're not, I mean, you said earlier, you said, you know, getting a bit older. I think you're 26 at the ripe old age of 26.
I know.
Still really young.
And I used to hate when people, would say that. They'd be like, well, you know, like, I'm getting a bit older. I'd be like, shut up.
Yeah, you'll say. If there's anything you'd say to kind of 18-year-old Rob, apart from, you know, practice the old Spangwell a bit more.
yeah, just don't lie about your abilities to do anything. No, I wouldn't tell myself that either, to be fair. I think maybe one thing that I've kind of learned to do is just, like, just learn to just enjoy time you get by yourself, because it's actually, it's completely fine. And I'm someone that's very, like, I always love being with people, and like I always want to be with people. And I was particularly like that when I was younger. Mm. And I'm getting better and better at just having, like, enjoying time by myself. And I think that's making me realise more and more that also other people also enjoy time by themselves. And if they're by themselves, I shouldn't be thinking like, oh, I feel a bit bad they're by themselves. Like, it's actually quite nice for people to be by themselves sometimes. So yeah, that's probably my one thing.
I think being at ease in your own company, it's really hard. And especially when we're so, I don't know, I guess addicted to our phones, and we're seeing one of our friends who might be together, and you know, there's this feeling of FOMO, whatever it might be. But actually, I think, as I mean, as apart from lockdown, like as you said, the time that we get by ourselves to really just chill out and like do nothing is so limited. It's a joke. You might get like 10 minutes a day, I don't know.
And it's important to give it to yourself. Like you can force that on yourself. Like we were talking about earlier about I wanted to go for a walk. I've got quite in the habit of just doing, even if it's like I find a 20-minute slot in my schedule for the day that I'm free. Like, I think that's an equally important part of my timetable, is my time to go for a walk by myself, which sounds silly, or putting in time to read a book for 20 minutes alongside meetings and deadlines and all of that kind of stuff. Because it just keeps, it makes every day feel a lot sort of nicer, and you don't get to the end and think, bloody hell, that was intense from the moment I opened my eyes. And you think, that was quite a nice day, actually. Even if it's only a tiny little part of it, that you've had a bit of you time and a bit of sort of mindfulness time, I guess would be the way that people say it these days.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And I think if you physically make the effort to schedule that in, as kind of laborious as that sounds, at least then if something feels quite overwhelming in a whole day, you know you're going to have that 20 minutes to sort of switch off and like, and let your thoughts catch up with you, because I often compress my thoughts through being busy, and then they all come flooding in at once, and then I get awful anxiety because I have to deal with everything at once.
Yeah, exactly. I do the same. And it means that, like, if you're, let's say it's, I don't know, 3 till 3:30 is I'm going for a walk, it means that if someone sends you an email and says, can we talk at 3, you go, no, sorry, my diary's busy at 3, we can talk at 3:30.
Yeah.
And as soon as it's actually in there, like, it's perfectly legit to have that as time to be doing something for yourself, even if you're not working for such during that time.
I think that's so true, and what a good note to end on. Thank you so much, Rob. Before I let you go and have your wet walk
around. Yeah, I was looking out the window, actually. It's drying up a little bit.
I think there's something so liberating that although it's raining, I kind of love like going outside, getting absolutely dripped on and coming back inside and making a cup of tea. It's quite nice.
Yeah, once you embrace it, it's gold. I had that on a run the other day. I got drenched, but it was just lush. It was so nice. Oh. Back, I was like, oh.
You feel so good. And if you have some good music in, I don't know what it is, but you can get some positive vibes going on.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Nice.
Well, before I let you go, I'm just going to ask you a couple of quickfire questions. Is that all right?
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
Okay, so first one is a book that you would recommend.
This is going to hurt, that we just mentioned is good. I'm currently reading Invisible Women by Caroline Perez. I think it's Caroline Perez.
Okay.
Which is just super interesting. And I've just finished The Body by Bill Bryson, which if you're a human being, is incredibly enlightening. So, those three are all really good.
Oh, they sound really good. And this is a good question for you, from one fellow foodie to another, is what is your favourite condiment and why?
My favourite condiment is probably Encona chilli sauce. Not the extra hot one, but the chilli one.
I don't think I've had that.
Oh, it's so, so nice. I love it. And it's not, like, you can put enough on to really go hard with the flavour of it, but it's not overwhelmingly hot.
Is it as hot as Tabasco?
I'm big on hot sauce.
Or not so much?
Probably hotter.
Nice. I love
it. I would think, like per teaspoon or per milligram, I'd say it's probably a little bit hotter. But it's just so ridiculously tasty.
That sounds really good. Right, I'll be definitely going to get some of that later. And your favourite London restaurant, or local, wherever you might be?
Do you know what? Weirdly, there's actually a little cafe near in Battersea where I live called Vibes Cafe.
Oh, yeah. Very, you went the other day, didn't you? Sorry, I was stalking your Instagram.
That's fine. Yeah, I've been a few times during lockdown. It's vegan. And, like, I'm not going to lie, I am probably the first to be like, vegan food's all right. I don't know. It's not really for me. But it's just so nice there. It's so nice. But that's like just a little cafe. And then if I was going to go restaurant, I don't know, probably like Goodman's or Hawksmoor, like one of the really good steak places.
Yeah.
So I don't really eat red meat, but when I do, I love it to be just a proper, delicious, tasty steak.
It's so funny. So many people come on this podcast and I ask them questions about food and they're like, I'm vegan, but I'm going to answer these as if I'm not. You're going to get a different take on things. And if you could have dinner with three people, alive or dead, who would they be?
You know what? I got asked this the other day and I absolutely nailed my answer. So one was my grandfather on my dad's side, who I didn't really know as an adult, but I think I would have loved to have known as an adult.
Cool.
So he'd be there. Michael Caine would be there as someone who's like, as an actor that I deeply admire, but has sort of not come through private education system in the UK, as most actors seem to have, and he's still just a superstar and sort of an enlightening man by reading his book and things like that. And then, don't forget whether anyone else would probably like Stephen Gerrard or something.
Nice.
Probably Stephen Gerrard. He's just my absolute hero in football terms, so he'd have to be there just to be like, I met him and I had dinner with him.
Very cool. I feel like a lot of your guy friends would be jealous about that seating arrangement.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
If you have, or do you have, a mentor or someone in your life that's really inspired you or helped you, or whoever that might be?
Yeah. I mean, loads of people that like I look up to and take as much advice from as I can. My dad's a big one. My mum's also a big one, which is lucky. I mean, they're divorced, but separately, and they're also incredibly different, which makes me just wonder how they were ever married. Yeah, they're both great for advice in different regards. And then a guy called Ryan Brody, who I was at university with, who founded an app called Muzmatch, and then now has a different business, and he's just an inspiring bloke. There's a few people that like I talk to, and I love just hearing from and getting advice from about stuff, not necessarily as mentors, but more just as sort of sounding boards that I know that I respect their opinion, like a guy called Henry Wade and his brother Will Wade, my business partner and housemate Elliot Jenks, my other housemate Alex Hodge, and then a friend of mine from uni called Harvey Austin, who we don't actually see each other that much, but we both very much bounce off each other. So yeah, the list could literally go on and on and on.
That is true friendship. It's when you don't have to speak for years on end and you have one phone call and it's literally like brotherhood. It's the best.
Yeah, it's just class. It's class. Yeah, I've got a few like that.
And finally, your favourite travel destination?
Do you know what? I was talking about this the other day. Probably Colombia.
Oh, cool. I haven't been to Colombia. I'd love to go.
Yeah, it's literally the best place ever. Vietnam, I also love. That's my close second, probably. But Colombia is just... I have the most... Actually, the Philippines are also absolutely stunning.
All good food.
I'm suddenly sounding like there's all these other places that I've been lucky enough to visit. But yeah, the Philippines, Colombia and Vietnam are probably my top three. Mexico's up there, but yeah.
I feel like you're quite... You travel for your food as well. It's definitely good food in all the
places. Yeah, no, and I do. Yeah, 100%. And I'm lucky that I can, like, excuse big, exciting trips for food inspiration.
For research.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Rob, thank you so much. It's been really nice having you on and, just for having such a nice, honest chat.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me. Really, really enjoyed speaking to you.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Inside Out series with me, Susie Flory. If you enjoy the podcast, I would be so grateful if you could please rate, review and subscribe. Apparently, it makes it easier for people to find us. Have a good day. Bye.